Hello, just a quick note at the top of this episode that the registration for the 2024 Celtic Students Conference is now open. The 11th annual conference will take place from the 30th of May to the 1st of June 2024, online and on campus in the Université de Bretagne Occidentale in Brest in Brittany. All information is in the show description and details on how to register and attend are there as well. We look forward to seeing you then. Enjoy the episode.
In this episode, I talk to two of my colleagues from the Endangered Languages Project, Anna and Akau, about the organisation, our work, and how you can get involved as someone who is interested in or working with the Celtic languages. Buena gí soltas an episode. Can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and what brought you to ELP and language revitalisation in general? Whoever wants to start, go ahead.
I guess I can start. Hi, I'm Anna Ballou. I'm the program manager at ELP. And oh gosh, what brought me to ELP? It's been a long road. I first got involved with ELP in 2011 when I was asked to manage the Africa and Australia sections of the Catalog of Endangered Languages at the Linguist List. Before that, I had been getting involved with language documentation and revitalization in Cameroon. So I guess that's how I ended up doing the Africa section. And this was before ELP even existed. This was 2011. We launched in 2012. I got started in linguistics, hoping to be useful to actual people. And it's hard to find a way to do that as a linguist. And so the first time I took field methods and the language teacher was talking about his dreams for his language of having like a school entirely in Kinande and having books and TV shows and podcasts. And listening to him describe his dreams was the first time I really thought, oh my gosh, linguists can really be useful. Like if I can help Pierre Mujomba achieve his dreams in any way, then this is the field for me. And I think that was my first clue that language revitalization was what I wanted to do. Yeah, and so here I am many years later at ELP getting to live that dream.
Excellent, excellent. That's great.
Akau Johnson. I'm a linguist. I have interest in language documentation, description, and revitalization. So I got interest in endangered languages while I was still in college. So it's my first encounter with language endangerment, language extinction, and others were in one of these courses that we did during my third year. And since that time, I've had the opportunity to be involved in several language documentation projects. And I got to know about language revitalization really well last year while working on Olukumi language. So I was working as a research assistant. So we went to the language community to get data. So after we get data, we did the analysis, we did the validation, and out of that data, we are able to curate a dictionary that is beneficiary to the language community, create some teaching materials that can be used in teaching that indigenous language. So it is an interesting feed for me, and I enjoy doing anything language documentation, description, and revitalization. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. So you started as an intern with ELP then back in June, right?
Yeah. I started with ELP at June.
Excellent. This year. Great. Brilliant. Well, it's been great to have you with us so far. And thank you both. So, Anna, you mentioned you were here from the beginning of ELP, before ELP really had taken off. So maybe you could give us some background on how ELP came about and how it's grown and changed over the years.
Yeah, so it's been a long story of how ELP came to be. Back in 2009, there was an academic workshop to develop what they were thinking of as a catalog of endangered languages. So ELP was always at its core a knowledge sharing program, but initially it was kind of more academically focused. It was about bringing together all of the information about language vitality that was kind of scattered across a bunch of different publications and making a single accessible reference work for people to use. So for the first few years, it was pretty focused on just language vitality information. But in 2011, Google approached the catalog team saying that, I think it was one of the Google founders had heard about the concept of endangered languages and was interested in it and wanted to build a website for this catalog, for this academic project. And, you know, academics aren't great at making our own websites. So we said, okay, you'll make a much better website than we can. And it included sort of a media sharing platform for people to add videos of their language or documents about their language. And that's kind of where ELP itself came from. The First Peoples Cultural Council in Canada came on as a partner at that point with all of their extensive experience in empowering First Nations languages and communities to be used online. And from there, ELP sort of grew into a gathering space for people working in language revitalization and documentation generally. And so for the past 5 or so years, our big focus has continued to be knowledge sharing, but not just academic knowledge. We're really interested in sharing people's stories from their own work and highlighting what folks are doing that's working for them, the challenges they're facing, the ways they're addressing them, and just kind of building a network of mutual support internationally for folks who are working on behalf of their languages.
Great, brilliant. So a kind of knowledge sharing still there, but also focus on that community aspect as well.
Yeah, really kind of turning our focus from the academy. No, we're not abandoning you linguists, but I think our focus really is much more towards supporting folks working on behalf of their own communities now.
Mm-hmm. Great. And maybe you can both then tell me a little bit about what you get up to in ELP.
So, as an intern, we really worked around a lot of teams. Probably it depends on the area you really want to focus on. Me, for example, I worked more around translation and others. So there are folks that work around data management, research, work around gathering revitalization materials in different endangered languages of the world. And so I will talk more on what I do. So part of the things I do is, okay, ELP is trying to get many of their resources to be available in different languages of the world. So we've been able to engage volunteers that has been helping with the translation and the review of these materials. So much of the task I do is to coordinate and manage the translation project. So I interact with volunteers that translate these materials. Then I think I reach out to professionals in the field that can help us to review what has been translated, and so that we can have a perfect translation. So apart from that one, we work around curating Word of the Day in different languages, curating language news, and writing blog posts, and so many other interesting work that we do. So it's an interesting time at ELP. We get to work around different aspects, which everything still boils to the point of language, endangered language. So it's really interesting, and it's really a good work. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, and it's great. And I feel the same in my role with ELP, that it's just such a varied job, so many different things to be working on. And And no one knows more about how many things one can be working on than Anna.
Yeah, fair enough. When people ask me, like, what do you actually do in your day-to-day job? I'm like, how long do you have? It's a lot of different hats we all have to wear in a small organization. So yeah, what do? I guess I do the administration, the financial stuff, the program planning, the emails, the some social media, but I'm really grateful to have an awesome team of interns who are picking up the social media football and running with it beautifully. Yeah, I guess my job is kind of as like the institutional memory of ELP. If someone asks, why do we do things in this weird way? I'm like, oh, it's a funny story from 2013. That's part of my role. But in general, I think my favorite part of work at ELP is just getting to be in touch with so many people doing amazing and fascinating and important things all around the world. So part of my job is also outreach and partnerships with other organizations. And so just getting to have conversations with folks about what they're up to in their language work, the incredible ideas they have, and having the great honor sometimes of collaborating with them on projects. So getting to work with a bunch of Mayan language activists to hold a workshop sharing knowledge about digital activism in Maya country and British Columbia, for example, or being in touch with organizations doing language and culture promotion in Sierra Leone. It's you know, there's some boring paperwork stuff, but I don't mind it because there's so much fascinating human relationship building that goes into the work too. So yeah, just getting to learn from other folks' work is easily the coolest part of being at ELP.
Great. Yeah, for me. I find that as well through the mentoring program, that it's just such fun. You just meet so many amazing people doing amazing work, that any stress associated with it just goes away because it's so worth it. Excellent. And I think that gives listeners a good overview of different strands of ELP's work. But what would be a current project or a future project that's in the work that you would both be most excited about? Is there any project that stands out to you or anything you're doing?
It's the big one, but Akau, I think you should tell them about the culture camps handbook.
You got it. So presently, one of my future projects with EOB is organizing the cultural camp handbook. So we've been working around that for a while. One of our volunteers has been able to translate the handbook. It's about 45 to 50 pages. I've been able to translate it to Igbo. So we are trying to modify it to be language specific. So this September, we are going to be working around how we can make it really fit in to the Igbo setting. That's one. Two, I'm looking forward to reaching out to more professionals that can help us to review our language revitalization terminologies that will be useful for the upcoming ELP website. And then I'm looking forward to the upcoming language documentation webinar to participate and contribute my quota in making this year a bigger project, and a lot more.
There's so much.
I have a lot of things that I'm looking forward to. And then personally, I'm working around Tunzu now, so I'm looking forward to contribute because we don't have a lot of materials on Tunzu on the ELP website. So I'm looking forward to contribute a lot in terms of materials on the language and the language family as a whole. So it's a lot of work, but we are taking it step by step, and we'll get there.
Yes, absolutely great. Yeah, there's so much going on, and so much that will be going on. And I think this episode will be released possibly early next year. So some of the things we talk about should be out there to be seen. So that's exciting. What about you, Anna? What are you most excited about at the moment?
Yeah, well, see, like Akau said, the language documentation webinars coming up in the fall are totally one of my favorite things at ELP. These are just annual online webinar courses, just introducing the basics of language documentation for anybody who's interested in documenting their language. But this year, we've got a special follow-up to the documentation webinars. For the very first time, we're going to be holding a language revitalization webinar series in the spring, or I should call it the Language Revitalization Learning Extravaganza, as we have been calling it internally. And this is going to be hosted by our fantastic revitalization mentors like Alexandra. And we're really, really excited to learn with a group of folks around the world. But that precedes something else really exciting coming up early next year. We don't have a hard launch date yet, but the new ELP website is coming. And it includes so much new stuff, right? The current ELP website, it's good, but it's also 10 years old at this point, and it's kind of busting at the seams. And the new website not only updates the old ELP site with all the same functions, like we're still going to have a map and catalog of language info, still have multimedia resources on each language, but the new site also includes the Language Revitalization Help Desk, which is a free online resource with a lot of components, a gigantic library of revitalization learning materials. The mentors program is going to be hosted there in the help desk, where anybody can get free one-on-one guidance and advice and share their ideas with a revitalization mentor. And I'm really excited about the global directory of revitalization programs, right? It's one thing to look at a map of where languages are struggling around the world. It's interesting, but it's also really sad and quite depressing. And so the flip side of that that we really want to highlight is all of the good work happening to strengthen languages all over the world. And so we're going to be publishing a brand new interactive map and directory of language revitalization programs globally. So not only just to see the growth of revitalization work and be amazed at how much is happening around the world, but also to really help people get in touch with each other and to connect more directly with revitalization practitioners who can collaborate or share ideas or just kind of build those relationships and networks of mutual support. So there's a lot more coming on the new site, but those are some of the parts that I am really most excited about.
Excellent. Yes, brilliant. Yeah, it will be great to have one platform where all of the different strategies come together. So that'll be really great. Brilliant. So yeah, so the Association of Celtic Students who organized this podcast, who run this podcast, they aim to support speakers of Celtic languages. So I thought it would be good to get your advice. What advice would you have for speakers of Celtic languages who are interested in the work of ELP? How can they get support or get involved?
I think the first answer is just come get involved. Whatever you're interested in doing, there may be a way to do it with ELP. Most of all, we're really interested in hearing about what folks are doing in their own work. So if you are working on a project, no matter how big or how small, to support your language or promote it or advocate for it, share about it with us, either in the directory, and I think we can probably put a link to the directory submission form somewhere in this podcast description. Write us an email, right? We'd love to hear from you directly. You can also always contribute items for our social media. So if you want to share a word in your language or a phrase that you think is really cool or meaningful, if you would like to participate in an interview on Instagram Live, perhaps about your work, or if you notice that our information about your language maybe is out of date or needs some additional details, please write to us. We try to keep our information as accurate and up to date as humanly possible, and your input helps us do that. lots of other ways you can get involved. We always welcome volunteers if you are interested in that. And you can apply for our summer internship program. In fact, I think one of the Celtic Students Association members is currently an intern, Joe Simpson.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, this is not the first crossover between ELP and the Association of Celtic Students. Definitely excellent. Okay, great. And then what advice would you both have for students? So both of you come from a background in linguistics. So a lot of the people listening would also be interested in linguistics, maybe particularly surrounding the Celtic languages. But what advice would you have for those students who, after their studies in linguistics or during them, want to get involved in language revitalization as a field?
I would say language studies is much more than just describing the theoretical aspect. Language work is we also need to work around language revitalization. So because when a language goes into extinct, so many things is lost. Language is more than a means of communication. It's a language loss can lead to the loss of unique cultural, historical, even spiritual knowledge that is essential for language speakers and survivor. So in as much that a linguist or student that are interested in language work want to do stuff around phonology and others, you try as much as possible to work around language documentation and revitalization. With this, we'll be preserving our indigenous language. And work around this can facilitate the passing of the language from older generation to the younger generation. With that, we know that, okay, we are on the safer side. And the truth is just that language work is interesting. So you guys are going to enjoy it. So it's a really interesting aspect. I can promise you, I'm enjoying it also. So let's get involved. Let's do a lot of things around language documentation and revitalization. Let's work with the different language communities, work with native speakers, work collaboratively with anybody. ELP is always available to help. You know, there are a lot of things that you guys can do to keep it going. So thank you. That's my
excellent. Yeah, great. So yeah, you're so right that people have training that will be very useful in language documentation and revitalization. It's just about taking that step from theory to working with people. Absolutely brilliant. And what about you, Anna? Any advice for students?
Yeah, I just really want to echo what Akau said about facilitating the transfer of knowledge, right? Not only in sort of the classical language revitalization sense of, you know, assisting transmission of language, but as students in any field of language work, you've had the opportunity to accumulate a lot of really specialized knowledge about how language can function and ways of understanding it and even ways of supporting language. Even if you're not specifically trained in language revitalization, you've probably developed some skill sets that can be useful in language revitalization. And so my first piece of advice is get really good at sharing out what you've learned. Figure out how to explain even the complicated theoretical stuff in ways that make sense to ordinary people and see if they can do something with that knowledge and if you can be of use in that process. My other piece of advice is you start with what you know, right? All of you are Celtic language, either speakers or learners or supporters in some sense. And so getting involved locally is kind of the obvious first step, but also don't forget to share what you're doing locally with a broader audience, you know, like act locally, but then network globally and share globally. There are people around the world who will find what you're doing really useful and really interesting and vice versa. There are folks doing projects where when you hear about them, you'll think, oh my gosh, why are we not doing this in Dublin? Why are we not doing this in Wales? Why are we not doing this at home? So yeah, get really good at sharing what you do and taking inspiration from other folks is my best piece of advice.
Excellent. Yes. And I think the good thing about the Association of Celtic Students is it definitely fosters that between the different Celtic language communities. So it's a little pocket then of ELP's global reach. So it's really, really nice to have that connection. Yeah. The other question was, where can people learn more about ELP?
Great question. You can go right to our website at endangeredlanguages.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, X. Do people even know what I'm talking about if I say X? LinkedIn. I think we briefly had a Mastodon account, but that doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure when we listen back to this in a year, the social media landscape will have changed even more dramatically. But we will drop all of those in the show notes anyway, so people can get direct links to the different social media platforms. And then anything else you want to add?
Keep going. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Learn from each other, support each other, just keep carrying each other forward in this really important work.
Excellent. How about you, Agao? Anything you'd like to add?
I'll say language work involves a lot of dedication and a lot of dedication. So be dedicated to the language work. It will make sense at the end. So just keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. Very good advice from both of you. And who speaks Irish, get in touch in Irish as well. And we can gladly reply in Irish. And then definitely happy to connect more between ELP and the Celtic language communities. And that's it. Thank you both so much for talking on the podcast.
Romila Magwivas Eistoch, La Putkaila Vikla in the Celtische. We are a student association that promotes the use and study in and of Irish, Welsh, Scottish Gaelic, Manx, Breton, and Cornish. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Celtic Students, where you will find the latest news in Celtic studies, details of the podcast episodes and blog posts, as well as information regarding our annual conference. Slán go fóill!